This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, my Lord, am I giddy. There's all kinds of news that we can get to today. There's NFL news. There is NCAA tournament news. There's all the drama around Shohei Ohtani, and all of that adds up to one hell of a stew for this Monday show, Joseph Fortenbaugh.
How does it work with Ohtani? He's going to meet with the media today, but there's a new interpreter. Do we trust the new interpreter just blindly? How do we go about this? I feel like there's going to be a lot of suspicion on everything that's said in that press conference.
I think there's a lot of raised eyebrows as to what's going on, but we don't know much. I'll be curious to see what the entire explanation is after a good 3-4 days of being able to get the story straight this time. But we will get to that through the course of the show. It is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, on the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Good weekend for you.
You know what? Strong to quite strong. Thursday was an absolute disaster of a day from a sports betting standpoint. Friday, we bounced back. We made it all back. The weekend was relatively solid. And then yesterday, outside with the boys, I got my one day off a month that I'm afforded. So I was out there getting yelled at trying to teach him lacrosse, getting yelled at trying to teach him t-ball. It's fantastic for me. How about you? A little travel? Feeling good? Feeling loose?
More travel, but all good. All good. And I will say this, it didn't make it any easier when I landed in Sioux City, Iowa on Saturday, only to find out that at the buzzer of the first half, Dayton hit a three to go over 70.5. That's not what I need.
I'll tell you something. At some point, we're going to have to create some sort of thread where all the listeners can follow along our show text thread.
Oh,
because it's nothing but complaints about which state each of us are located in and how we're being prevented from making certain bets we want to make. You're in Iowa. You can't play player props. Handman's in Jersey. He has to go through triple verification. Everything was a nightmare this weekend from a sports betting perspective.
My God. I get to Iowa, Joe, and what's wrong? I mean, I want to fade Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Is there something wrong with that? But they won't let me. I'm sorry. I thought this was America. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. So we have got so much college basketball. Dalton Kennett from Tennessee is going to join us through the course of the show. Tommy Lloyd, the head coach of Arizona, they are headed for the Sweet 16. He is going to join us. And, of course, Caitlin Clark and Iowa are back in action tonight. Holly Rowe, who is following Caitlin Clark, is going to be with us as well. But we start with the NFL owners' meetings today, Joseph. And we start with something that has me particularly giddy as the AFC head coaches spoke this morning. I present to you Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, on the situation with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Take a close listen to what the coach has to say.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we're not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capability.
It was not Russell Wilson is the starter. It was Russell Wilson is in pole position. Joe, just because you have pole position doesn't mean you're going to definitively win the race.
Just ask Max Verstappen this past weekend.
Sure. Why not?
Car broke down. Car's actually the fastest car. Generally, when he has pole, he wins the race. But
I'm actually not an F1 guy at all. I probably need to get into it. That was what my analysis was. Sure, why not?
I'd like to see you try to slide into an F1 car.
Oh, I think we'd all like to see that.
It's like, I had the fastest car on the grid going 30 mile an hour slower than every other car.
I had the opportunity one time to do that at the Texas Motor Speedway when my brother got that for a birthday present from his wife. So sent a bunch of us out there. I couldn't even get in the fire suit. Anyway, pole position does not mean that you are winning the race.
And no, it does not.
I love the fact that this is going to be a competition no matter what they have told Russell Wilson all along.
And this is something you're in favor of?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think we're in a spot here, not that you don't want Russell Wilson to start, but I think this is more than anything showing that, yes, we are going to encourage competition for the moment, and the best player is going to start. It's not going to be based on something that they may have promised Russell Wilson. And if he's a problem, if he's not the starter at the beginning of the year, they can very easily cut ties with him and move on.
The two things to like here more than anything else: one, I think the plan is sound, and two, more importantly, you're seeing why Mike Tomlin has had so much A, success, and B, longevity in the NFL, because he's a very good communicator. This is not ambiguous in any way, shape, or form. Mike Tomlin is communicating exactly what the plan is to the team, to the media, to the fans, and it is not subject to interpretation. He's made it very clear. The veteran with the more proven track record who was signed first is going to be in the lead for the starting job. There are great reasons for that. In addition to that, however, no one is locked into anything. He's making it very clear Justin Fields will have his shot at the job. The job is not Russell Wilson's. He just has a lead on it. And from there, we're going to let competition play itself out. And then whatever's best for the Pittsburgh Steelers will be the decision the team makes. You go with Wilson first because it's very simple. It's the veteran-rookie dynamic. Fields is not a rookie, but this is that veteran-rookie dynamic like you saw in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes came into the league. Alex Smith was the starting quarterback. It was the right decision. Bring Mahomes along slowly. Let him learn how to be a professional. Let Alex Smith hold down the offense while that transition is taking place. We also saw this with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson. You go back, Doug Peterson was the guy holding it down for Donovan McNabb. Do the same thing here. Install Russ as your guy if he goes out and earns it early in the year, and let him run the offense as Justin Fields is brought along slowly, because again, even though he's not a rookie, the time in Chicago was very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. All right, it was not a great situation for a young quarterback. So the Steelers are taking a shot here and saying, you know what? We'll kind of reboot this system with Justin Fields. We'll give him an opportunity to learn how we do things. And then if Russ stumbles or Justin outperforms him, we'll give him a chance to start. Openly communicating it very clearly to everybody, Tomlin showing what a good leader he is.
And tell me if when you listen to this soundbite of Mike Tomlin from this morning, you don't recognize that this is as close to giddy publicly as he will get about a talent when he talks about Justin Fields.
He oozes talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community-like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting it.
He was a guy that we had heard all along when they had talked about the possibility of trading for Fields, that he was very much in favor of it. He was somebody that was very high on him, and they did a great job in riding that whole situation out and really having it fall into their laps, if we're being honest about it. But overall, I think that they've put themselves in a very good position. And here's the thing, and I'm curious, I know how you feel about both of these players.
Don't presume. You and I are not married, and even she doesn't know.
All right, but we've talked
about layered, it before. I'm layered and complex. Hey, my opinion may have changed this weekend. You asked how the weekend went. I said it was pretty good.
You're not open-minded. We've established this.
Very close-minded.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily close-minded.
I would say when you look at the talent of these two players, even though we've seen what we've seen with Russ, not expecting him to be what he was in Seattle, I think it's very hard to deny that the talent that they have at quarterback today is better than it was 2 weeks ago.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And from a buy low perspective, I think this is an excellent transaction. We've talked about this. There's two ways to look at this: the transactions that were made, and then what will happen as a result of those transactions, right? You can like the deal, but also say they're not going to compete for a Super Bowl. Or you can hate the deal, but think somehow, some way they figure out how to make it work because the situation was so bad last year. I like the deal because the Steelers overhauled a position of need, and they did it on the cheap with some guys, especially in Fields, who could have high ceilings that you might be able to utilize that the Bears couldn't figure out. right? Conversely, I would say for everyone in Tennessee celebrating the great move of trading for Legarius Sneed, that's a move I don't like. That is buying at the absolute top of the market, paying top dollar for a guy who's going to have trouble duplicating what he did last season, only because it was a career year. Like, when you pay the guy off the career year, the career money for the career year, you're basically paying for him to keep doing that. And that is very difficult to do because a career year is by definition a career year. It's a once in a career sort of situation. So that's a move you can get excited about because it's a proven commodity, but I don't necessarily like it because it's too expensive. In Pittsburgh, great buy low candidates, but I might not think it leads to a Super Bowl because I don't think either guy is going to be good enough to get through what's necessary to get through in the AFC.
It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. What I love about the owners' meetings is we are always going to get something stupid said. Always. You can count on it. Whether it's a coach or an owner. You know who's at the owners' meetings?
Who's
Jerry
that?
Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. We're diving into Jerry's world next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Every week, someone in the NFL says something that leaves us scratching our heads. And it's usually Jerry Jones.
I have to believe 1 and 1 is 3. I can't operate where 1 and 1 is 2.
This is Jerry's world, and we're just living in it.
God bless him. Every single time. He is, Joe. I mean, let's just take you behind the curtain. Jerry Jones is a content king for us. It's a king. Like, Jerry Jones spoke, boom. I don't care what he said. That's a segment.
Love him. How do you not love him? See, that's the great thing about him. You don't have to like the Cowboys. You can hate the Cowboys. I'm an Eagles fan. I hate the Cowboys. I love Jerry. And not in like a mocking way. I love Jerry. I think he's fantastic. I've always maintained that if I had lots of money and owned a team, I would behave in the manner Jerry Jones behaves with his team, where I would treat it like it's my own fantasy team, and you can't tell me anything I'm doing is wrong.
I'm kind of getting the itch that maybe we need to do a Jerry Jones versus AI Jerry Jones soon. I don't know. Maybe we'll think about that.
All right. Kick it around a little bit. We'll take it into the lab.
Yeah, that reaction right there tells me I don't have to do it.
I had to think it through. Got to let me think it through. I can't have the instantaneous reaction to ideas. Do we want to just fire off from the hip on everything?
Well, because that had an initial response of, oh, God, he's going to. That was what I heard in your response.
Generally, the people you pick for those are robotic type people, though.
Is Jerry robotic?
Jerry's not robotic at all.
Okay.
Jerry keeps you on your toes with his commentary. Like, you picked, who are the last two AIs we've been?
We did Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, case in point. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's why at first I wanted to think it through. That's certainly not a no.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see what AI, what ChatGPT can come up with. And maybe we'll do that at some point this week during the owners' meetings. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. And it's also very clear that it's so much better when it's Jerry actually saying it. And unfortunately, in this case, I will be reading what Jerry said because there were no microphones present. Said it to a reporter. But, and I am certainly not going to imitate Jerry because my Southern accent is atrocious. So let's just get to it. What have we been talking about all offseason? What the hell does all in mean?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here he is with yet another attempted explanation. Quote, Jerry on all in. We get to be the world champion of how it works when you don't have as much money, but make no mistake about it, with every tool we got, we're all in. We're all in. As a matter of fact, this is rolling the sleeves up and more all in here than we were last year or the year before. It can impact us for, in some cases, 5 years down the road. I have no idea what the hell he just said.
Now, what I want you to do, if you've been riding with us for the start of the morning, I want you to go back and I want you to think about how Mike Tomlin communicated his message to the media, the fan base, and the team regarding how the Steelers are planning on handling the quarterback situation. It was very clear. It was very straightforward. It was very unambiguous. Everything about the way Tomlin spoke regarding Fields, Wilson, and the starting job in Pittsburgh left no room for interpretation, left no room for improvisation. It was very clear. Great leaders are great communicators. Here's Jerry once again for like the ninth time this offseason being asked, he or his son, about the definition of all in because the words don't necessarily line up with the actions. And he speaks on it again. And you are confused. And you're not the only one. A lot of people are going to hear that and think, what are they talking about? This is part of the issue in Dallas. Their plan isn't clear. It's not concise. There are key buzzwords. There's branding. There's marketing. There's PR. There's all that business stuff. But when it comes down to the bottom brass tacks of getting business done, there's nothing to support any of these words that are being thrown all throughout the ether.
All that is missing here is a little bit of ranch because this first sentence is the most amazing word salad I've ever seen.
It's fantastic.
We get to be the world champion of how it works when you don't have as much money, but make no mistake, every tool we got, we're all in. The world champion of how it works when you don't have money? I mean, I don't even know what that is.
Hang the banner. He and his son have been campaigning. It seems as if they wish they could be more L.A. Dodger than they could be, say, Kansas City Chief.
Yeah.
In that they want to go out and just be able to outspend everybody because of how much money they have. And they keep lamenting the salary cap. They lament the salary cap because they don't know how it works. They've shown this time and time again. They blew through the free agency period without getting Dak Prescott's contract situated. They're so hell-bent on this all-in approach with Prescott, using it as a way to drive him. You want that new contract, Dak? You're going to have to go out there and win this season. He's getting the money one way or another. That's not a motivating factor right there. All it did was jam you up in free agency because your quarterback salary cap number was so high, you didn't have any money to spend anywhere else. So every time you hear them talk about the salary cap and how they wish they could just spend like the Dodgers do, that's because it takes part of the gamesmanship out of it. That's what the salary cap is. It's a way of keeping costs down, but it's also gamesmanship. Do you know the rules of the salary cap better than anybody else? Do you know how to bend them? Do you know how to possibly break them to your advantage, right? The Cowboys have never figured that out. And as a result, they are always behind everyone else from a financial perspective when it comes to their roster payroll because they just can't get these deals lined up the way they needed to.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and there's more.
Oh,
Jerry
more word
says,
salad.
He does not regret paying Ezekiel Elliott massive money for a running back. Rather, he believes his lessons from that are part of what make him the best option as Cowboys GM. Quote, what I can do for our fans is I can learn from what we did with Zeke. I can learn. I can look back and make that comparison. And I'm more likely to learn from that than some new face. I really am. I believe that as long as I do my homework and got my energy.
I mean, I could spend the remainder of the show breaking that down.
I think.
And it would be good. No, it would not be bad. I could break that down over the next 2 hours and 37 minutes, and I would be good. It would be good radio.
I really am thinking, with Matsuhara out of a job right now, that Jerry should hire him, and it's his translator.
Bring him over?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that stuff, that was all English, and I still don't know what was said. I can learn more than anybody else ever could. I really can.
The idea that he doesn't regret paying Ezekiel Elliott.
But I don't regret it.
Right. He doesn't regret it. First of all, that's extremely stubborn. He should look back on that and say that was a huge mistake. I spent a lot of money.
Learning. Yeah, I'm capable of learning, but I didn't.
Yeah, capable of learning, but I did not. And here's the thing. He's probably applying that lesson. We shouldn't have given Zeke all that money to his skill players now. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons on the defensive side. But those are the guys you should be paying. See, this is the thing. He's so reactionary. He's not proactive. He's reactive. So he looks at that and goes, look, we made a huge mistake. We gave Zeke too much money too soon. That was a mistake. Now, I can learn from that. It wasn't really a mistake, but I can learn from it. So now he's taking that lesson, which should have been don't overpay a running back. He sees it as don't overplay a star player, and now he's coming into this saying, I'm not going to go ahead and pay Dak right now. I'm learning my mistake, everybody. See, I rushed to pay Zeke. I'm not going to rush to pay Dak. Meanwhile, everyone's going like this, banging their head with their forehand, saying, Jerry, you're not learning the right lesson. You paid the wrong position.
I love this.
It's incredible.
I love this. And I love the last part of the sentence. As long as I do my homework and got my energy. In other words, as long as I, you know, got a nap in.
It's so good. It's so, so good. Because again, it to start with Pittsburgh today and listen to Tomlin communicate his message and then listen to this. Again, you're really only competing against 8 to 10 teams every year for a Super Bowl. Some teams have taken themselves out of consideration before anyone even hits the field in week one.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, college basketball Sweet 16, full of blue bloods and top seeds, and it's actually better for the sport than the Cinderella stories. We'll explain in moments on ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the Arizona Wildcats, after getting knocked off in the first round last year as a two seed, in 2024 as a two seed, advance to the Sweet 16. It'll be their second appearance in the regional semifinals in 3 years under Tommy Lloyd.
We had this guy on a couple of weeks ago. He was fantastic. We're happy for him as the Wildcats are moving on. That was the call on Westwood One, the NCAA radio network. Tommy Lloyd, the head coach of the Wildcats, joins us right now on Carlin versus Joe. Coach, it's Chris and Joe. We really appreciate the time and congratulations. Had to feel awesome to advance through the weekend and get to the Sweet 16 again.
No, I appreciate that, guys. And hey, I had a lot of media requests for today. This is the only one I took, and I took it. You guys helped me out a few weeks ago. Good karma. But you also did, you led me in with a little Beastie Boy. So today, I don't know, maybe the welcome's not as warm.
That's a simple dropping of the ball situation, Tommy. You're right. Some point, you will get sabotaged during this interview.
Oh, nice. Thank you. That's good. Okay, let's do this interview now. I'm ready.
Yeah, if you haven't been literally sabotaged already, don't worry. We'll get you there at some point. Let's start with this. You're making it to the second weekend of the tournament. How much of a relief is it to know that with all the pressure going in, with all the preparation going in, you won not one but two games, and now you can kind of take a deep breath and reset for next week?
Well, you know, I got to admit, there is some relief. When you're at a school like Arizona and, you know, you get upset early in the tournament one year, it makes for a long 365 days. But at the same point, I mean, I think our team's right where it should be. I think we've had a good season. I think we got a good group. I think we're capable of winning games deep into March. And we know every one of them is going to be a dogfight. It was great to take a look, get home Saturday. We actually got home Saturday evening, which is crazy. I've never had that before. And got to kind of rest all day yesterday and watch Baylor and Clemson and getting geared up for a great battle versus Clemson on Thursday.
How do you handle it this week with the team, Coach, before you're getting out, you're traveling? I would assume you're probably traveling Wednesday to go to Los Angeles. But as far as the schedule the next couple of days, how much downtime do they get before you're getting right back into it?
Well, you know, we were the first round of 32 games.
Yep.
So we played like early, we were, our time, it was like 9:35 in the morning. So it was like 10:35 in the morning on Saturday. So we got home pretty early. So we got Saturday evening to rest, Sunday to rest. And then we'll treat this like a normal week. You know, in the Pac-12 or most of the West Coast conferences generally play on Thursday, Saturday for a conference game. So we'll treat it like a normal week. We took Sunday off. Today we'll kind of reconvene as a group and start prepping for Thursday, and we actually will travel Tuesday after practice. So it makes for a short week, you know, as far as your time in Tucson, but it's a normal week as far as your preparation.
You know, this has been a talking point throughout the network here today. How do you feel about the scheduling for how the tournament's shaken down so far? You guys get that first game out. It's a 10:30 local game Mountain Time. Meanwhile, we've got games in Pittsburgh that are going, tipping off at close to 10 p.m. local. Do you think there could be some changes there? It's obviously about the TV, but, you guys are out there early.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, I think we were all kind of surprised. But I'll tell you what, it's a gift for a coach to have an early game. Because otherwise, you just sit around, you stare at the wall, you watch film, you look at your notes over and over, and it just seems like it creates more stress the later you have to wait for a game. So it was actually great playing early for us.
Tommy Lloyd, head coach of Arizona, the Wildcats, headed to the Sweet 16. They have got Clemson on Thursday night, first game out of the Sweet 16 round. Tommy, when you look at Caleb's experience and what he has meant to your team through these first couple of games of the tournament, how do you quantify that?
Well, Caleb's really good. I mean, he's an alpha dog. He's not afraid of the moment. But I think the most important thing is, you know, we don't need Caleb to go off for us to be successful. We have a really deep, well-rounded team. And, you know, and Caleb definitely gives us, you know, added firepower and a guy who can, you know, take over a game for stretches on his own. So that's a great luxury to have. But at the same point, you know, we don't need Caleb feeling like he needs to do that every second of the game. You know, I mean, I think if he settles in and like he has, you know, and that's others kind of contribute and do their thing, I think it even makes us more effective.
We wanted to touch on something that you had talked about over the course of the weekend that made some headlines, the basketballs and the nets that were being used in the early stages of the tournament. What specifically were the issues, and what do you think the NCAA could do to maybe clean up that problem a little bit?
Well, the basketball deals, this has been something that's been going on forever. You know, the balls they use are generally fine. They're just brand new. So, you know, when you have a brand new ball, it's a little bit like a baseball mitt. You got to break it in a little bit, and then it's a little easier for the players to handle. And it just isn't an Arizona problem. This is a problem that's been going on for forever in the tournament. And it seems like, you know, they inflate the ball pretty tight. So it seems like, you know, the misses, you know, really bounce a little longer off rebounds than normal, just little things like that. And the net deal was crazy. I mean, you know, because the ball's new and it's kind of sticky, and the net was tight. So, like, on some of the makes, the ball would just stop in the net. Like, it was like, we were playing with a peach basket. You had to go take it out of the basket and to get the ball in. So, like, I mean, to me, that's an easy thing. And they did fix it. I mean, hey, I mean, I think they had, you know, good intentions, put all new equipment out there, everything looking nice and shiny and bright, you know, but then the net didn't work. And then once they realized it didn't work, they actually went up to the University of Utah. Their athletic director told me, took the nets off their baskets, got them down to the tournament, and they worked perfect. So I appreciate them for taking the suggestion.
Tommy Lloyd, head coach at Arizona, the Wildcats into the Sweet 16. Last couple of games, have you learned anything new about this team through the first couple of weeks of the tournament? Because, frankly, coach, in watching them, you look very, very comfortable in their own skin right now, so to speak, where they are.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think the thing that I've learned is just the message, you know, that we've been giving them as a staff is our normal is good enough to win games in this tournament. So, you know, in our normal, I mean, we can kick ass with our normal, you know, being aggressive, attack mode, ball pressure, you know, not being conservative, but we don't need to do anything outside of what we ordinarily do to be good. So I just want our guys to settle in that and trust, you know, what we do on a daily basis is enough. And, you know, it might be a one player's game, you know, this game and another guy's game the next game. And just kind of trust that. And so I think our guys have really settled in, and which has been fun for us to see as a staff because, you know, the tournament pressure is real. You know, you could say what you want, and I know it creates these great moments and this great drama, but these young players have to wear it. And so for them, for our guys to be able to settle in and play normal basketball shows me that they're in a good spot. Our staff's done a good job, you know, preparing them for this time of year.
Coach, you guys are obviously busy over the course of the weekend. You're playing, and then you're scouting, you're watching tape, you're analyzing. I'm curious, though, do you guys get an opportunity to watch some of the other games taking place? And if so, were there any performances that stood out to you, either in your region or outside of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you always have the games on in the background, right? You might be doing other stuff and kind of focusing on yourself. But, you know, yesterday, like I said, we got home Saturday, so I was able to watch, you know, some late games Saturday night. When we were home, I did. Like 6-7 p.m. And then Sunday, you know, I watched the games were on all day, you know, and I mean, some of those games, that Houston game was crazy, you know, just how A&M came back, and it just shows you just got to hang in there and give yourself an opportunity. And that Alabama Grand Canyon game was nuts. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was, those two teams were playing so hard and so relentless. I mean, there was two or three guys on the floor every single play. It was a madhouse.
Tommy, great stuff. Let's get you out on the right note. Head in hand, man. Give me something to work with here.
There we go.
There we go. There we go. We certainly.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Hey, I'll come back now. Thank you.
Oh, coach, you're the best.
We'll talk to you next week when you're going to the Final Four.
Well, I hope we do, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, yep. Coach. Best of luck.
That's Tommy Lloyd. He is the head coach of Arizona. Here is the one little thing here. Handman apparently did play some Beastie Boys at the beginning, but apparently it was a deep cut.
Well, on top of that, too, keep this in mind for those who are listening, and we'll pull back the curtain a little bit. When you're a guest appearing on a radio show, sometimes you might not necessarily hear the intro as well. Handman could be playing the Beastie Boys, but Coach could be speaking to Evan as they're getting set for the interview.
Right.
So there are a lot of things taking place there. I'm just glad we got to the bottom of it. Handman, you were under the bus. You have now been removed from the bus,
yes,
by Chris Carlin.
Initial reaction, throw him under the bus, though.
Yeah. And that's fair. If I'm in Carlin's shoes, I'm putting you guys under the bus before Coach as well.
Well, that's the default move.
Yeah, we can patch things up with Handman later.
Yes, yes. So, Handman, my deepest condolences to Sully your good name.
I have half a mind to, like, come on the mic here for a second because I'll be thrown right back under the bus. But, like, the song was from, like, one of their 2000s albums, not from the 80s or 90s. So,
Also, to be clear, you're looking me in the eye. I did not put you under the bus.
You're the one in front of me.
I might be in front of you. I just want to make it clear. I deserve none of this. It's all directed at Carlin. Right. I had a good meditation session before this show. I'm in good spirits today.
I'm locked in on his eyes on the frame store now, right? Yeah. On the TV above me.
You let Carlin know your problem is with him.
Listen, I will be more than happy to throw you under the bus. I did throw you under the bus. And now I'm taking you to the hospital.
Yeah.
All right?
He extracted you.
And I'll pull a Frank Costello and I'll throw you $1,000 and hey, go get it fixed. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Why this tournament has given us the best of both worlds. That is after this, after Joe has this from Granger.
Well, it'd be nice if I had the Granger read in front of me because
I could certainly take care of it if you don't mind.
That, you know what, hey man, that's you going under the bus. Or is this supposed to be Vivid Seats? It is Vivid Seats. Now it's Carlin Vivid going under the bus.
Okay.
Terrible job by the host setting up the read. Now that we've all gotten that established, secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats.
Not enough O's and spoons. Yeah.
And by the way, did you notice Handman also caught that as well from me? I immediately defaulted to you and was like, Handman, you got to be kidding me. You got the papers wrong for me. Which, of course, couldn't be my fault. I couldn't possibly have checked into any of this before the show started. All right, Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, every slap shot, every stolen base. Hey, I personally used them for every stolen base, taking the boys to Boston Red Sox opening days in a couple weeks. Vivid Seats was there to deliver. They will celebrate or help you celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
For the third time in the last 4 years, the Creighton Blue Jays have advanced past the first weekend. The school that coined the phrase, survive and advance, has done just that. North Carolina State is going to the Sweet 16.
Nine straight Sweet 16s for Mark Few and the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And the Arizona Wildcats advance to the Sweet 16.
North Carolina advances to the Sweet 16.
I love the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, specifically the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday, because there is that opportunity of anything can happen. And I live for those upsets. I absolutely live for them. What I cannot stand is when those teams that upset continue to move forward because I know what's coming. But Joe, what we saw over the weekend was we got some great moments, some terrific feel-good moments for those teams, but then we had the real powers in college basketball separate themselves. And as we look at the Sweet 16, there are two teams lower than a 5 seed in the Sweet 16. Clemson, who is a 6, and NC State, who is an 11 and just red hot. And they're a good story to have, having won now, what did they win, 7 games in 11 days?
Well, they went 5-for-5 in the ACC tournament, and they've won 2 since then. So that's 7 in however many days that would be. Maybe you did have it nailed, and I'm just in here giving you a bunch of word salad.
Well, but here's the point. They're a power conference team that is very familiar with this, and you look across the board, I think we've got a phenomenal, phenomenal lineup coming up. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. That's my biggest takeaway out of the weekend. We got the best of both worlds. We got some great upsets over the first couple of days, but then we saw kind of some of the cream rise to the top, especially a couple that maybe have struggled a little bit in round one, but then really got it straightened out.
It feels as if there's been a little bit of this it's too chalky argument that's Mm-mm. broken out today in Mm-mm. the wake of the first two rounds of the tournament. I don't see it. I don't know what there would be to get upset about based on anything that's played out this weekend. I think the morning show did a nice job breaking down the fact that some of these start times happening as late on Saturday and Sunday as they do, when you could bump them up for a full day of action. I get the TV networks are trying to maximize their visibility and financial windows, so I understand where it's coming from. But for the most part, I really don't see any room for complaint as to anything that's taken place so far. Is it chalkier this year? Yeah, maybe, perhaps, but we have had two 16s go out and win. Since 2018, we had one. In 2023, we won one. Like, the best thing about the tournament is its unpredictable nature. It's unpredictable, as shocking as this may sound, for a tournament to be this chalky. People are always talking about which 12s are going to beat the 5s. Is the 11 over the 6 the new 12 over 5? Who are going to be the sleepers? Everyone's got to have their sleepers, and then this year you don't really get any. That's the surprise in and of itself. Every year this tournament takes on a life of its own. I'm here for it. The versatility of this tournament is what makes it so beautiful.
Listen to Seth Greenberg talk about this, because to me, the most important thing now is that we are getting the best basketball possible. Here's Seth this morning on Unsportsmanlike talking about this.
Cinderellas are fine, but in the end, you want the very best teams. And last year, we had Cinderellas. You know, we had the FAUs. We had the San Diego State, which is not really a Cinderella. They're still alive. But the great thing about the NCAA tournament is you earn your way in. And then once you get in, you have an opportunity like anyone else. So this year, I don't think it impacts the viewership. I actually think it helps the viewership. I think now we have some teams that we really understand who they are, that we recognize their names.
Joe, there are several games this weekend that I am pumped up for on Thursday and Friday. I am pumped up for Alabama, UNC. I am pumped up for Illinois, Iowa State, Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee. These are all great games. There is not a dog among the group, and it's not often that you can say that.
No, not at all. I mean, Duke Houston feels like that could be a Final Four matchup, right? Mm. We have some who's Tennessee got?
Creighton.
That could be an Elite Eight or a Final Four matchup. We have some marquee show. That Illinois-Iowa State game could be an Elite Eight or a Final Four matchup. We have some elite games this weekend. We have some elite games. And by the way, UConn, as good as they've looked, man, are they getting an ultimate draw here.
Yeah.
They are just cruising. Like, North Carolina had a big second-round matchup with Michigan State. Like, what's that? Like, you're a one seed. You win your first game, which should be a layup. Then you draw Izzo and Michigan State. Meanwhile, here's UConn. Roll over in the first round. Roll over in the second round. This is the matchup where they should have Auburn, and Auburn flames out in the opening round. So they end up drawing who? Who's UConn got in this next matchup?
UConn next has got, I had this here a second ago. UConn is playing San Diego State.
Yeah, and that's a good team from last year, but it feels like UConn's path has just set itself up nicely. So let's go back, 6 days to when everyone was calling that the group of death and talking about how, my God, I can't believe UConn got treated by the committee this way after such a remarkable season. Turns out it's an easier path than anybody else out there. It all worked out in the end. Let's just stay calm.
We do have to address one thing. Our performance so far in the brackets is not good. It's not good. You in the ESPN radio talent group are in dead last.
I break late. Everybody knows this.
As do I. I am fourth to last. Now, what I would point out is that 7 of my 8 Elite Eight teams are still very much alive. So the race is not over until it's over, and we haven't even hit the stretch run yet. So everybody who's feeling good about themselves, sit tight, because the boys are coming up from behind.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.